Welcome to the Breakthrough Success Podcast, helping you achieve that breakthrough you've always been looking for in your business. And now your host, Mark Gubertzi.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Gubertzi, and this is a podcast for marketers and small business owners who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. I am very excited about this show. For episode 60 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast, we're going to talk about how we can become the best version of ourselves with our guest, Dr. Richard Schuster. Richard is a psychologist and host of the Daily Helping Podcast. The show features guests who inspire listeners to become the best version of themselves and make the world a better place. This encapsulates Richard's journey of helping others and encouraging others to do the same. And now it is my pleasure to welcome Richard to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Mark. It's great to be here.
It is a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success Podcast. And before we take a deep dive into how we can become the best version of ourselves, I always like to get some background. So when did you first take the idea of helping others seriously?
Yeah, really for me, this is something that I talk about pretty often. My path changed dramatically in my mid-20s. I was very much on an entrepreneurial journey, as are many of your listeners, I'm sure. And I was working as an IT consultant at the time. And as I was building my IT consulting firm, I was in a near fatal car accident in which I broke my back and severely injured my neck and had some internal injuries as well, which took me some time to recover from. But what was really wild in that experience was that, you know, and I love the Matrix as an analogy I like to use in a number of ways. Like, it was kind of like, you know, when Neo saw things moving in slow motion. Like, that was what I was experiencing during the crash itself. And there's really interesting research on the neuroscience of near-death experiences that a lot of people who perceive themselves as about to die go through this, where time slows down dramatically. And it wasn't this kind of thing for me like Ebenezer Scrooge, where, you know, I was visited by the ghost of Richard, future and present and all that. But I did really take stock of my life and really was saying, hey, you know, what have I really done? How have I helped others? How have I made the world a better place? I thought of, you know, the pain I was about to cause my family when they got a call from the police that I was dead, because I was sure I was going to die. But I didn't die. And in my time recovering, I did go back to work, but nothing was ever the same for me. And I eventually walked away from that completely and not really knowing what I was going to do with my life, but knowing that I wanted to do something more meaningful. So a series of events unfolded, which put me on the path that I'm on today. And that first I became a master level social worker. And then after completing my master's in social work, I got a doctorate in clinical psychology. And so those are, of course, very focused on helping others. And while I take great pride in the clinical work that I do, I knew that I was really helping on kind of a micro level, not at more of a societal level. So I came up with the idea of this podcast because, from my standpoint, and there is empirical evidence to back this up as well, is that, you know, when people are feeling fulfilled, when people are happy and doing what they love, they don't have emotional distress. They're not angry. They genuinely feel happy. And if we can get a lot of people passionate about what they're doing and making a difference in the world, then everybody's going to find themselves living in a better place.
Richard, thank you for sharing with us how you got started on this journey of helping others and taking that seriously, not just one of those things that you do when the opportunity comes up, but intentionally setting yourself up for that opportunity to happen. And I like to transition to becoming our best self. And I was wondering, I mean, we get this idea of, okay, be your best self, but what does that mean? So how can we first identify what it means to be our best self, and then how, after we know what it means to be our best self, can we take those steps to reaching that version of our best self?
So, Mark, it's kind of a funny question, right? Because if you think about it, you know, there isn't going to be a day that anybody wakes up and says, hey, it's November 1st, 2017, and guess what, Facebook friends? I am now 100% the best version of who I am. So, in a sense, it's very much an aspirational thing. Like, just like we always strive to be better, there isn't this magical day where we just like, hey, I'm done learning, I'm done growing. So there is always continued development. But what I do believe is that there is a formula, and I can share with you what my formula is, and that is if you find something that you love to do, and that thing which you love to do helps others, and you can make a living doing it, that's kind of the trifecta, because in essence, you are creating the life that you want to have for yourself. You are going to have fulfillment in terms of your own personal self, but you'll also feel that fulfillment from helping others, and you're doing it all on your terms. I mean, that's what so many people become entrepreneurs to do in the first place.
Richard, thanks for sharing those insights on and that really interesting part of the journey where we will never truly become our best selves because let's say like I have an idea of what I want to be now, but when I reach that point, there's just going to be a higher pedestal for me to go on. So no matter where you are, I mean, you can always continue to get better. Even when you reach that status, you can obviously continue to get better. And you mentioned helping out others is being something very important. Can you expand a little more upon that as to why helping others is so important and how we can get started with helping others?
Absolutely. So one of the things that's really interesting, Mark, is that if you had to think about society in general, and I'm really talking about Western society, would you say that we are more wired to give or we are more wired to focus on kind of our selfish interests? What would you say?
I'd say we're more focused on ourselves. WIIFM, what's in it for me?
Exactly right. Now, here's what's really interesting, and we've known this for quite some time, is that the research shows that if you were to give me $1,000 or somebody were to give you $1,000, the same areas of our brains would light up. The reward systems in our brain, these are ancient systems. So the same hormones, the same neural pathways, whether we're giving or we're receiving, the reaction that we experience physiologically is identical. But as you said, what's in it for me is kind of the mantra of our society. So helping others feels good. Helping others allows you to experience greater pleasure. Helping others allows you to even better accomplish your own goals, because when we help others, it opens up other doors for us. And the thing that's funny is that there's been a lot of talk about what helping others means. Perhaps in the last 5 to 10 years, I've seen this online in particular. There was a movie that came out some time ago, I think around like 2005 or 7, called The Secret. And everybody went really wild about The Secret. It was brilliantly marketed. But the gist of that kind of thinking is, well, if I do really cool things, then what's going to happen is that it's going to come back to me. That's not giving. Giving, the definition of altruism is truly helping others with the expectation of having nothing in return. And I think that's where it should be our focus. And it doesn't have to be a grand gesture. Like, you know, it's great to be able to help in different ways. I like to buy people's groceries. I have a lot of fun with that. So I will randomly just, you know, turn around when I'm in line at the grocery store, at Target or whatever, and just say, hey, do you mind if I buy your shopping cart? And, you know, they get very confused and they are looking for hidden cameras and think it's a scam or something. And once they realize that it's not, it's amazing to see the facial expressions change, the way people light up. And I don't tell them who I am. I don't say, hey, you know, go listen to my show or whatever. I just tell them, pay it forward. Go do something for somebody else. And I do on my show, for those of you that listen, you know, my mission is to get 1 million people to commit acts of kindness and post it online with their hashtags, with the hashtag My Daily Helping. So, I mean, I am focused on that as a mission for my show. But when I'm doing it individually, I don't, because, you know, it's an anonymous thing. I buy people's gas. You know, I always give money wherever I can, but it doesn't have to just be money. And it can be as simple as holding the door for somebody. If you're in line at the airport, helping somebody get their bag in the overhead compartment, just being nice people is And it's like anything else, Mark, if you start focusing on the behavior and you start tracking the behavior and say, hey, today I helped somebody cross the street, or I smiled at somebody that looked like they were having a bad day. When you start becoming aware of these behaviors, they become habitual. They become patterns, and we start doing it more and more.
And I really love the idea of just performing these small acts of kindness that may not seem monumental to you or like in general when you're first doing them, but they have a big impact on the individual who you are helping. And that can create a ripple effect, as you mentioned, where other people are definitely paying it forward. And I know that you obviously help a lot of people, and it's definitely a goal that we should be helping more people. But when it comes to achieving that version of our best self until we change our standards and seek a higher level, at some point we may have to ask others to help us with certain tasks. So how do you recommend that we align ourselves with people who can help us become better individuals?
One of the creeds that I live by is I make sure to surround myself with people that share my ideals, values, and goals. So if you are new to the world of self-help and personal development, and you pick up a book by Tony Robbins or Hal Elrod or Tim Ferriss or whoever is your pleasure, you're going to see this theme over and over again. And it's not a new theme. It's been talked about by Napoleon Hill way back when. It's been talked about by Dale Carnegie. You know, this was 80 years ago. So the general understanding of that, you know, you are who you associate with is very much true. And so if you are trying to achieve tremendous things and have a positive outlook on your life, don't surround yourself with negative people. So that's the first thing that I would say, is that find those people who are going to help you achieve your goals and support you along the way. Now, that doesn't mean that they're sunshine blowers, right? That doesn't mean that, you know, if you're jumping out of an airplane and your parachute's on fire, that they're just going to, you know, give you the thumbs up and everything's cool. That's not what's helpful for you. People who will give you true supportive feedback is what you're looking for. And so that also means distancing oneself from those influences in your life that have perhaps impeded your ability to maximize your potential.
And how do you suggest we would separate ourselves from individuals who are having that bad influence? Because some people may know bad influences who have been in their lives for quite a while. So how do you recommend we would separate from those people?
So that's hard, right? Because it's the first thing I would suggest you do is make lists. Hal Elrod talked about this beautifully, and he talked about having growth relationships versus maintenance relationships. So it's important to really take stock of who's going to help you and who is either hindering you and or is toxic. So the first thing to do is you got to get rid of the toxicity. And that can be easy or hard depending on the nature of those relationships. If it's a significant other or a family member, that's really tough because these are people that are probably going to be in your life. You know, we all have, you know, relatives that, you know, they all, what's the analogy? Like there's one in every family, right? Well, some families have a lot, and you really want to say, okay, you know, this is somebody who is a relative and I have to interact with them. But you can kind of shield yourself by, you know, not, if this is somebody who, regardless if you had the greatest idea in the world and you, let's say, you know, Mark, you came up with the idea for cold fusion and it's affordable and everybody could have it, but you had a negative relative or a friend who, you know, would hate on your idea right away and say, no, this is not good, then be guarded in terms of what you share with those people. And I want to also say to your audience, this doesn't mean that, you know, you burn the ships here and have scorched earth in terms of these relationships. Not everybody is ready to take the steps that your audience is going to take in terms of self-realization, in terms of that entrepreneurial journey, which, you know, is scary. And, you know, you really need to have an army of people who are going to support you in this. So, you know, I would say we look at these negative relationships with compassion, because, you know, you might have had, you know, an awesome upbringing, but maybe, you know, a friend or a cousin hasn't had the same life experience as you had, and they're bitter and they're angry. So though they might not be ready to help themselves, and they're not in your corner per se, you know, we can still treat them with compassion, but we just limit our interactions with them as much as possible and really focus on our interactions on those people, surrounding ourselves with those people that have our backs, that believe in us. So those can be our supportive friends, our supportive relatives. I think mentorship is amazing. So if you can find yourself a good mentor or a coach, that's a starting point. And I'm a huge proponent of mastermind groups. So getting yourselves together with four or five people every week who are going to hold you accountable and help you process things and perhaps avoid pitfalls, that's another great way of accelerating one's growth.
Richard, thanks for sharing with us how we can get connected with all these people who are going to help us grow, and also to restrict the time we spend with people who are not going to help us grow. And that's something very important. And another thing you said in your answer is that you talked about the journey, which can be very stressful, especially for entrepreneurs. And I feel like at certain points, we tend to feel lost on the pursuit towards our big goals, our big ambitions. And I feel like it's just a natural part of the process. But how can we catch ourselves when we feel lost during the journey and get back on track?
Well, I will say this, you know, one of the things that entrepreneurs really need to focus on is, you know, the long term in terms of, and what I mean by that is there's a mindset for an entrepreneur, right? Like if you are the type of person that needs to have everything nice and neat and perfect and predictable, you're probably better suited to have a W-2 job and stay there. And I suspect that type of mentality is largely not the type of people who are listening to your show or my show. But you know, it goes in waves, right? So I think one of the things you do is you don't ride the highs too high and you don't ride the lows too low. And you know, again, if you're feeling lost, I would say, well, what is it that you're feeling lost about? Because what helps keep me on point is that everything that I do is mission driven. My mission in life is to help people become the best versions of themselves, period. That is in reference to my podcast. That is in reference to my work as a psychologist, as a doctor. That is in reference to my nonprofit for kids that I have, which is launching very soon. So because it trickles down from the top for me as mission-driven, I'm never lost in terms of my mission. So you know, there are unforeseen obstacles, there's adversity, there's, you know, staffing issues, there's all kinds of challenges that we as entrepreneurs will face. However, I believe that if you're mission-driven, you're not going to get lost in terms of purpose, which you are going to run into our fires. And then it's just simply a matter of managing the logistics to put them out.
Richard, thank you for sharing with us how we can catch ourselves when we feel lost and get back on track. And you've obviously had quite the entrepreneurial journey like any entrepreneur, but obviously yours has different twists and turns in it. And throughout that journey, I'm sure you've encountered several challenges. And with that in mind, I'm wondering, what is one of the big challenges you faced in that journey and the powerful lessons you learned during that challenge?
So, Mark, that's a good question, and I'm going to be pretty vulnerable here and talk about it, because as I mentioned in the beginning of our recording, you know, after I was nearly killed in that accident, I did go back to work. And you know, this was prior to the accident, something that I thought I really wanted to do, something that I thought a lot of my friends and family were going to be proud of me for doing, something that I thought was going to bring me untold riches and boats and cars and all of these things. And so after I went back, you know, using a matrix analogy, it was like I took that red pill and nothing was quite the same for me ever again. And even though my gut was telling me that you got to get out of here, I stuck it out way longer than I should have, in part because of fear. Fear, I was afraid of letting people down, and I was afraid of the unknown also, as I look back with reflection. So the big lesson, you know, if I could go back and tell myself, I would have saved myself quite a lot of aggravation to say, you know, you have to face your fear. And, you know, one of the things that every entrepreneur has to face is there is always the possibility of failure. You know, like what I think the statistic from Think and Grow Rich that was in that book was something along the lines of millionaires, I think 7 out of 10, their first businesses completely fail. But what it is that separates those that fail and those that ultimately succeed is that they don't give up and they try it again. But part of trying it again means being able to face your fear. So for me, I think, you know, you listen to your gut. The big lesson was listen to your gut and face your fears. And by doing that, you know, we overcome a lot of those problems.
Thanks for sharing with us that big challenge that you faced along your journey and for being vulnerable and being able to share that with all the Breakthrough Success listeners. And as this is episode 60 of some of the Breakthrough Success listeners, I've heard this question a lot, but I am a big bookworm. So the question I love asking people is, what are three great books that you can think of right now that you should be reading?
So I really like, I've talked about this on other shows, I'm a big fan of Jay Papasan's One Thing. And I think that's a really good book. I'm sure, you know, this has probably been mentioned 57 other times on your show, this book. But that's a great book because if you are trying to juggle a lot of things and you've got many different ideas in terms of what you want to do with your business or your entrepreneurial venture, that's a really great book just to simplify things. I think it's fantastic. Certainly, I've mentioned Think and Grow Rich, I think, twice on this call. So that's one that I read every single year. I think it's a terrific book. And then I recently read, so it's on my mind, but it was an amazing book, Tim Ferriss's Tools of Titans. And that's very cool because, you know, you get to go and see all of these people that he's interviewed and what are some of their success, you know, rituals and things that work for them and kind of find things that fit for you. And I think it's important too, you know, when we're reading these books, when we're working with a coach, that, you know, don't try and be the author of the book. Try and be you. You know, take from that book, take from it the pieces that you can apply to your life, the pieces that fit your values and your mission. You know, don't just, you know, wholly swallow everything that's there, because that's not ultimately helpful.
Richard, thank you for sharing with us those three great books. And I mean, those reading books are really spot on. I mean, Tools and Titans, I was thinking about that because I read that a few months ago. You definitely feel like you accomplished a big goal when you finished that mammoth little book.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that alone, like just finishing that is wild. So yes, 100% agree.
Now, I've asked you a bunch of questions throughout this episode, and I'll get to the part where you share with all the listeners where they can find you, but right before I do that, as I've been asking you these questions, I'm going to turn the spotlight to you. So what is one question we need to be asking ourselves more often?
The question is, and I alluded to this earlier, how can what we do, or rather, how can we make what we do help create a better life for everybody? So whatever your business is, find a way to have it be service-driven and purpose-driven rather than cash flow-driven. And if that is your position, the cash will follow for sure.
Richard, thank you for sharing with us that great question we should be asking ourselves and for sharing all the great insights throughout this episode. And before we come to a close, I'm going to give you the spotlight again. Basically, just let us know where we can find you on the web.
Yeah, so I'm in all of the usual places, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc. But the best place to go is to my website, which is thedailyhelping.com. And from there, you can get links to my podcasts, which are on iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, all of the usual places, as well as you can download my app by searching for The Daily Helping with Dr. Richard Schuster in the App Store for both Android and Google Play.
Breakthrough Success listeners, all those links will be in the show notes, which you can find at markgaberti.com/E60. Richard, it was a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success podcast.
I loved it. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a review or a rating. Two ways you could do this are through markgaberti.com/iTunes or markgaberti.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today.
Want your tweets to get retweeted to my 360,000 Twitter followers? All you have to do is say something nice about the Breakthrough Success podcast and include the link markgaberti.com/iTunes. Once you've posted that tweet, email me mark@markgaberti.com and I will retweet your tweet to my 360,000 followers.
This podcast is a production done by Mark Gaberti. For more insights, head on over to markgaberti.com.